tried, we're often may wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Father, understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves our home so lonely and drear. Then do we wonder while others prosper, living so wicked year after year? Father, understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Faithful till death said our loving master, a few more days to labor and wait. Tolls of the road will then seem as nothing as we sweep through the beautiful gate. Father, understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Father, understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by.
All right. Thank the Lord for that good song. Father Long, we'll understand it. We'll know all about it. Y'all may not know too much now. Somebody says, well, how you doing? I said, well, as far as I know, doing all right. But sometimes we don't know too far ahead, do we? And a lot of things come our way that we don't understand. But as the child of God, as we come to know Christ more and more, as our daily walk of life grows and we follow Him more, we'll understand it more as we go in that walk. And certainly when we get to heaven, we'll understand it more and better by and by. I pray tonight everybody in this building is going to heaven. That'd be the desire of our heart, that every person seated in this auditorium would know without a shadow of a doubt. Be like this one, that verse we read. We know that we can believe and be sure. And I'm glad to have assurance tonight that I'm saved. And I'm not going to hell, don't want to go, not going to go, because one day Christ saved me, gave me a new life, made me a new creature in Christ Jesus, and now we're on our way to heaven. And if you don't know that, then before this night is over, you can know Christ and be a child of God. You say, what I have to do? Just believe Him. Just trust His Word. Just trust what God says in His Word, and He'll give you a new life, make you a new creature. All right, tonight, once again, in the book of Genesis, and we want to read in chapter number 41. We have been reading and having a series of messages on Joseph, and want to continue tonight. This is this will be the fourth in the series. Probably have seven or eight. There's three or four more messages that we want to bring to you, and thought we'd go ahead with that tonight. We've had three messages thus far, talking concerning Joseph. First message was Joseph the son, and then the second message was Joseph the slave. After he was a son of his father, his brothers hated him and became a slave. And then last week we noticed how that he was lied upon, how that he was slandered. And then tonight I want us to notice Joseph the seer, or the prophet. And we'll see some of the things that Joseph had in his life, and how that he prophesied concerning some things about God. And I'm glad Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Joseph, so many things he said, pointed people to Jehovah God. In Genesis chapter number 41, I want to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, it came to pass at the end of two full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came out of the river seven well-favored kine, fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and the lean-fleshed kine did eat up the seven well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed the second time. And behold, seven ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, seven thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the seven thin ears devoured the seven rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for the magicians of Egypt, and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler to Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me inward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And he dreamed a dream, and one night, I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. He shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Now that's reading down through verse number 16 here of the 41st chapter of the book of Genesis as we continue our study on Joseph, God's man in God's place. We have seen thus far in the study that we've been having that everywhere Joseph was, he was a man of God. Everywhere that Joseph went, he had the ability to bring people to himself. He would have what we would call that magnetic attraction, and he was just a leader of sorts, as you might say, and everywhere he was. When his brothers hate him and they put him in the pit, and then we found that he went to Potiphar's house, and there, because of his being in Potiphar's house, everything that Potiphar did was made good, and it flourished because Joseph was there. And we found out last week that the reason that it was good with Joseph was because the Lord was with Joseph. And when God is with you, everything will be well. Things will be good. When God's against you, then you can be assured everything's not going to go well. But with Joseph, we find that the Lord was with him. Whether he be in the pit, whether he be in the palace, whether he be in the prison, God was with Joseph. And he certainly was a man of God in every place that God placed him. We seldom think of Joseph as a prophet, or as sometimes called a seer. But we want tonight to look upon him as a prophet, and we'll find that he was not just a prophet, but that he was a good one. And the words that he spoke came to pass. And one of the laws that would tell a person whether it would be a prophet or not was whether the things he said came to pass. And as he spoke, we find that there were many things that were said to him, and what he said came to pass. Now you have to remember, Joseph had a dream himself. The Bible says in chapter 37 of Genesis, verse number 5, that Joseph dreamed a dream. And that dream thus far has not been fulfilled in Joseph's life. We find that, we look back there, we saw in one of the messages that Joseph dreamed that dream, and he was going to have authority over his brothers. And they didn't want that. And so therefore they hated him, they envied him, they fought against him. But Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told them what it meant. And even his father said, are you going to rule over even your own father? And so thus far, Joseph's dream has not come to pass as he said it would. But we find when he was in prison that the butler and the baker, the Bible says in chapter 40 and verse number 5, that they dreamed a dream. And Joseph told them the interpretation of that dream, and it came to pass just like Joseph said it would. We find now here in chapter 41, verse number 15, that Pharaoh makes mention. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream. And so we find that Joseph is a dealer and an interpreter of dreams and these things that came to pass in the days gone by. We look at primarily tonight at what Joseph prophesied concerning the butler and the baker, and also of Pharaoh's dream. Now a little bit later we'll find that Joseph's dream comes to pass. He is put over them. He is taken and placed on a high pedestal, and he is promoted in the kingdom of Egypt. But that is a little bit later. Let's notice first of all the posture, or the mental, the spiritual attitude that Joseph had. I'm glad Joseph excelled in the things he did. His attitude was right. And if we're going to serve God, if we're going to be anything for God, our attitude has to be right. You'll notice in verse number 8 of chapter 40 that when those men came to Joseph concerning their dreams, Joseph said to them, do not interpret interpretations belong to God. Tell me them, I pray you. Joseph's attitude was not that he could do it, but that God could do it through him. And tonight, we better get the idea. We better know that everything we do, everything we say, everything in the work of God is according to what God says. Not what we want and not what we desire, but we have to live in accordance to the things of God. And so he says to the butler and to the baker, he says, do not interpretations belong to God? And he said, you tell me. And he said, I'll give God the glory and the honor, and I'll tell you what the dream means. But you'll find that it's not too hard to talk to a prisoner, maybe if you're a prisoner with them. But now Joseph has been brought up before the Pharaoh. He has been brought up before the king. He was the most powerful man of all the world that day. During the time which Joseph lived, Egypt was the world power. And it was the kingdom that was to be reckoned with all around the known world of that day. And now Joseph has been brought up to Pharaoh. What does he do with Pharaoh? What's his attitude there? I thank God his attitude toward Pharaoh is just like it was toward those prisoners. He tells and he gives honor and gives glory to the God of heaven. Look in verse number 16 where we just read. That last verse there where we just read, Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. Joseph said, I cannot tell you the interpretation of that dream. But then he says, God shall give Pharaoh, and he says he's going to give him an answer of peace. So when
Joseph was in the prison, he gave honor to God. But when Joseph is called before the Pharaoh, he still says, it's God. And I tell you what, one thing we need to do, we need to have a passion to serve God anywhere we are. Everywhere we go, we need to have a zeal and a desire in our soul and our life that we're going to stand up for God. We're going to speak for God. We're going to, whether it be on the playground as a child, or whether it be on the workplace as an employee, or whether we be knocking doors, or whether we be talking to our relatives, our friends, or whether we be talking to those in authority over us. We ought to let people know that God says certain things in His Word, and we're going to try to abide by the Word of God. This scripture that we hold tonight is the most precious thing that we have in our possession. It's more precious than your car, it's more precious than your home, and it's more precious than anything you have in your possession, a Word of God. And we ought to stand up and say, I believe what God said. Somebody says, how do you know you can get to heaven? Because what God says about going to heaven, we can know that. How do you know how to live? How do you know how to act? Because of what God says in His Word. And so Joseph had a passion to serve the Lord. If we're going to be used of God, then we're going to have to be willing to be used of God anywhere we are. Doesn't matter where, just be willing to be used of the Lord, whether it be in a prison or whether it be in a palace. Joseph was ready to speak for God there with the butler and the baker, and he was ready to speak for God there before the Pharaoh. And so if we're going to serve God, we're going to have to, we can't choose our place of service. We have to say, Lord, where would you have me to go? What would you have me to say, and what would you have me to do? So we find that many will not serve the Lord because of circumstances, or many will find that the circumstances are not right, and so they just go the other direction. They'll not serve God. There's some that says, well, the results are not like I think they ought to be, so I believe we'll not serve God anymore. A lot of folks will not do anything for God because they don't see anything with the eye. A lot of preachers get discouraged and get disgusted because they don't see activity, and they don't see movement. They don't see something going on. And I know some preachers that they leave their church when people are not getting saved. They leave the church when church members are not doing something, some kind of activity going on. But by the way, folks, that does not determine what's going on in the life and the heart of people. Our proper perspective ought to be that we're going to stand for God. Doesn't matter what anybody else does. We're going to speak for the Lord. Doesn't matter who moves, who doesn't move. Doesn't matter what goes on. Just be found faithful, serving the Lord in the hard times as well as the easy times, in the good times as well as the bad times. Just find ourselves serving the God of heaven. I believe Joseph did that. Even though he maybe didn't see much that at first, but he did serve God. Even though sometimes people not serve the Lord because they think they've been mistreated, but we've never been treated like the Lord. Or somebody says, I don't do that because somebody said something to me. Somebody did something to me. But if you'll compare that to what God, the Son of God, went through, we'll find out we have it pretty easy. You'll find out we've got it pretty easy. We've got an easy way. A lot of folks stay at home, and they're just sort of like a baby, suck their thumb, and they're not going to serve God. They're not going to do anything. And then they get mad because somebody will come along and ask them why they're not serving God. And that's not our responsibility. That's not our job. That's not what God's called us to do. We as a child of God, we as a servant of God, are we to be found working and active and serving God, and wherever the place may be and whatever the conditions might be, we just need to learn to serve God. Amen. I think of Brother Solomon Olabi there in Africa. I'd hate to think I had to go there, but you know you can serve God there just like you can in America. And I'd hate to think I had to go to Mexico and I do what some of those other missionaries that I read about, what they have to go through, but I find that if they can go through it, I could if God was in that. I think about other places around the world that might not be the best place to go to serve God. But folks, God doesn't pick out easy places all the time, but God picks out a place that we can be a servant of God, where He can say, now magnify, honor, and glorify my name. And that's what God wants out of each of us. It's not always easy. Sometimes people will mistreat us. Sometimes they'll say slanderous things and hard things. But it doesn't match up to what happened in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the lack of opportunity with any of us. It's the lack of willingness. It's not the lack of having opportunity to serve God, but it's the lack of our willingness to serve God. It's the lack of our saying, yes, I will do what God has me to do. I find Joseph, not only did he have a passion to serve God, not only did he have a desire to serve God, but I find that he had patience to serve. And there, where we need to stay a little while, maybe. That's why I have to camp out every once in a while and just try to learn some patience in the work of God. Look, if you would, in chapter 40, verse number 13, where we read tonight. In Genesis chapter 40, verse number 13. That's 41, chapter 13. Chapter 41, verse 13. It says, "It came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. He me restored to mine office, and to him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph." Now, you think about this man that has been taken, this butler. He's been taken, and all of a sudden he remembers, "Well, there's a man, Joseph, that I was supposed to, when I get to Pharaoh, I was supposed to tell him about." The Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 41, says it was came to pass after the end of 2 years. Joseph wasn't sitting in prison, and he wasn't there lambasting that man that forgot about him. He wasn't lambasting that butler that he had predicted that he would live, and he had given that interpretation that you're going to be all right. He said, "When you go to the Pharaoh, you remember me." But that man forgot Joseph, and a period of 2 years goes by, and you find Joseph still being faithful in God. You find Joseph still serving the Lord. You find Joseph there in the prison still serving the Lord, and he was patient to serve God. I think of men in the Old Testament like Moses. Moses waited 80 years before God used him. The first 40 years of Moses' life was spent learning how to be somebody. I mean, he spent his time with Pharaoh. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter that she had found there on the riverbanks, hid in the bulrushes. And Pharaoh's daughter took Moses, and she groomed him, and she made him into her son. And now he has taken 40 years to learn how to be somebody. The next 40 years he spends on the backside of the desert learning that he's nobody. Learning that it didn't matter who he was, that things were not as he thought they would be. And his own people had turned against him and said, "Moses, who has put you over us?" And Moses runs to the backside of the desert, and he spends a period of 40 years there, and God was teaching him that he was nobody. Well, I tell you what, sometimes we need to have a backside desert experience to learn that we're not anybody. We need to learn until we're not too hot. And we may think we're good, we may think everything's well, but sometimes God just has to knock the props out from under us to let us know we're not anybody. We're not anything. And God told Moses, said, "All right, son, you're going to spend 40 years, you're going to learn something. You spent 40 years learning, you're trying to be somebody. Now I'm going to teach you that you're nobody." But thank God for that last 40-year period of Moses' life. God taught him that he could take a nobody and make a somebody out of him. Oh, thank God, God can take you, God can take me, God can take the lowest of all the people, and he can make somebody out of them if they're willing to be used of God. Amen. Just like he did Joseph, just like he did Moses, he can do that for you, and he can do that for me. I think of John the Baptist in the New Testament. He waited 20 years to preach, and he preached only 6 months. But 20 years he waited, and patiently waited to be a preacher of the Word of God, and he preached 6 months and got his head cut off. Patience. I think of the man, the Apostle Paul, many waiting experiences in his life. I think of Elijah. He was 3 years there at the brook Cherith and Zarephath before the glory of Mount Carmel came upon his life. 3 years. And sometimes we can't wait 3 months, and we just can't wait 3 weeks. God, you've got to do it, and you've got to do it now. But God wants us to learn patience. We're going to have to learn that God moves in his own time. God doesn't punch a time clock like we do. God doesn't come in at 7 o'clock and leave at 3. God doesn't come on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and leave at 12. We found that out today. I looked at my watch, it was 12:30. I said, "Oh my, boy, this crowd around here looked and said, boy, they're still in church. That's all right. They know who we're coming to serve." But when God comes on the scene, we just learn to need to depend on the Lord. May God help us and realize, oh yes, Elijah, he had the promise of God, but it was there down there for a while by a brook that dried up. God said, "Elijah, go down to that brook." He went down there, and the brook dried up. And then he said, "Elijah, go up there to that widow, Zarephath." He went there, and she said, "I don't have anything." And God all along was teaching him just day by day provision. That's all God's promised us. And what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Doesn't say anything about yesterday. We don't need yesterday's bread. God taught that in the wilderness with the manna. He said, "I'm going to send you. You take up enough for this day. Give us this day thy our daily bread."
And that's what God wants us to depend upon Him for today. This day, not tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come. Not the next week and not next month, but just depend upon the Lord day by day. And when we do that, we're going to find out that we have learned some patience in the Lord. Learn to trust Him. And we're eager to serve many times in high places. I know a lot of folks that, and I talk to a lot of preachers, and they begin to think about going somewhere else, and you know what they're doing? They're trying to work their way up a ladder to a bigger church and a better church and something that's not the way I try to find the will of God. Folks, we need to just serve God wherever He wants us to be.
Amen.
We just need to be patient with the Lord and say, God, what would you have me to do? I've heard preachers say, well, I'm going to be at this church 4 or 5 years and then I'm going to go up to a bigger church. I think that's foolish. That to me is wrong kind of thinking as far as serving God. I think when a preacher goes to a church, he ought to go there and with the intentions of staying there until Jesus comes and just build a work for God and forget about what everybody else thinks, forget about trying to make a kingdom, forget about trying to make a name for himself, and just be found faithful and patient in God. And you see God's blessings upon that individual. So we find Joseph had this patience. And we need that. His attitude was right. It didn't matter whether he was in Potiphar's house. Didn't matter if he was in prison. Didn't matter if he was in the palace. He said, it's not me that does it, but it's God. And by the way, you better learn that. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter if you're in Potiphar's house. Doesn't matter if you're in prison. Or if you're in the palace. It's God that does for you with you as He so chooses. We are what we are by the grace of God. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget where God found us and what God's done for us. And we forget, and our attitude becomes wrong. Now we've seen Joseph, his attitude. Let's look here at the predictions that he made. We could read them, but we'll not take time tonight. In chapter 40, verses 9 through 22, you have the dreams of these two men, the baker and the butler. And you'll find that those predictions that Joseph made about those two men came to pass just exactly as Joseph said it was. Here there's two dreams in prison. And now we find two dreams that takes place in the palace. These four dreams, provided Joseph with the opportunity to serve God. I find so many times I miss my opportunities. I find so many times I'll let opportunities slide by. I'll let something go that I should, and it won't be a minute down the road that I should have said something to that individual. I should have done so. I should have said so. And we miss the opportunities that God so freely gives us. And folks, we need to learn to keep our eyes open and keep our minds spiritually alert to say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? God, who am I going to come in contact with? God, how can I be a blessing to someone? I believe it ought to be like the old song says, Lord, make me a channel of blessing. Just make me a blessing that you can channel your word and your work and channel blessing from heaven down to earth to those that have need, because we're living in a world when men, women, boys and girls are dying, going to hell without God, and there's nobody seemingly cares about them. I mean, they're just gone. Nobody cares. We better have the right attitude toward God and learn to serve the Lord wherever it is. I believe if Joseph had not been faithful in the prison, he had not had opportunity in the palace.
Amen. Amen.
If Joseph had not have did those things there in the prison and make those predictions and interpret those dreams as God gave him interpretation, if Joseph had been sitting around like so many times I'll do and you'll do and say, boy, I'm in prison, I'm not going to do anything for God, I'm not going to serve God, things not going my way, I'm just going to quit and give up. If Joseph had that attitude, he wouldn't have had anything in the palace for him. And if we have that attitude, there may not be anything for us in the future. But if he hadn't been faithful in prison, he probably would not have had that opportunity with the Pharaoh there in the palace. We see this butler and the baker, they come and say, we've dreamed a dream. Well, we've dreamed this, and the message is given, and God always has a man to give a message. And Joseph told them exactly what would happen, that one of them, the baker, he was going to the butler, his head was going to be lifted up, and the other one, his head's lifted off. He just got killed. He says here that they come, and Joseph said, one's going to live, one's going to die, and that's exactly what happened. We must learn that if we're going to be faithful to God, sometimes we have to tell the bad news as well as the good news.
Amen.
If we're going to be faithful to God, if we're going to be a servant of God,
If I'm going to be a preacher of the gospel, sometimes I've got to deliver bad news and hard news, and sometimes there's things that we don't like and things that we don't really enjoy, but we got to do what God says to do and just follow the direction that God gives. And I find that Joseph, he delivered the bad news as well as the good. He said, one of you is going to die, and that's you. You're going to die, the other one's going to live. And he gave that message. You see, sometimes we have to give. We can give the message of grace, and we enjoy that. I'm glad, thank God, I can tell people that Jesus saves, and He'll save to the uttermost, and He'll take you out of the gutter. He'll take you off a skid row. He'll take you out of the devil's hand and the devil's grip, and He'll make you a child of God if you'll let Him. I'm glad for that good news, but I'm also commissioned of God, and so is every other Christian, tell you the bad news. If you don't do that, you're going to die and go to hell. I don't know of any preacher that's worth anything that enjoys preaching on hell. One of the hardest subjects in the Word of God to study and to preach about and to think about is hell. Hell is real. Hell is there. Somebody said, oh, I don't believe in the devil. I don't believe in demons. I don't believe in all that stuff. That's old-fashioned stuff. Just go ahead and believe that, but it's real, and everybody without God goes there. Dies without the Lord Jesus Christ, goes to a devil's hell. The Bible says it's a place of burning, it's a place of fire, where the fire is never, never quenched, never gone out. I think of that rich man there in Luke chapter 16. He said, oh, send Lazarus that he can just take a dip of water and just cool my tongue. I'm tormented in these flames. And that was some 2,000 years ago, and that man's still wanting that same water. Nothing there. Hell is a bad, terrible. I thank God for His love, but I'm glad also that not only loved me, but He loved the entire world. Amen. But on the other side of that is that not only does He love us, but He hates our sin. Amen. You see, there's love on one side, hatred on the other. God doesn't hate sinners, but He hates their sin. Now, there's some people sort of seem to think that God hates the sinner, but He does not. He hates your sin. He hates the sin nature. He hates that within us that we desire to do evil and wicked and sinful. And He hates that. But He died for sinners such as you and I. And the Apostle Paul said, I am chief. And I've heard it said, and you have too, if the Lord died for the chief, He'd take care of the rest of us Indians. He'll do what He wants to do and can do with us as He so chooses. He'll save us if we'll come to Him. And so we find Joseph. He had the message and he spoke that message. Now there's some people, they don't want the good news. There's some people don't want it, and they'll just say, just leave me alone. Turn, if you would, just for a moment to Isaiah chapter number 30. Isaiah chapter number 30, verse number 10. Verse number 9. Isaiah 30 and 9 says, this is a rebellious people. Lying children. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord. I'm afraid that describes 99.9% of Americans tonight. I'm afraid that describes our nation tonight. It says here, the rebellious people, lying children. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord. And for most part today, people will not hear the Word of God. I mean, they just shut their ear and they tune it out and turn it off and say, I don't care about that, I don't want it. And if I want to go to hell, let me go to hell. Well, you may want to go, but when you get there, you'll wish you hadn't made that trip. And without Jesus Christ, you'll make that trip. So there's rebellious people, children that are lying. They'll not hear the word of the Lord. Verse number 10, they say, which say to the seers, that means the prophets, see not. To the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Some want it just when the good news is there. Some want to hear just the good things. And some want to hear the easy things. Some want to hear the smooth things. Some want the things that doesn't put any responsibility on them. But folks, you and I, we that are saved, God has placed upon us a responsibility to be found faithful in the work of God. In the good times as well as the bad times. We are there. Some just want to hear the good news. Look in Genesis chapter 40, verse 16. Now this baker here, he saw the interpretation of the butler's dream was good. He hadn't said much about his dream. Now In Genesis chapter 40, verse 16, it says, when the chief baker saw the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream. And behold, he begins to tell him. You know what this man wanted? He just wanted the same message. He wanted the same thing that the other man got. And that's the only time he wanted to talk about his dream. And there's a lot of people today, they only want the good things out of God's Word. They only want the easy things. They only want the smooth things. They only want those things that are pleasant to them. And he, all of a sudden, he said, I was in my dream too, Joseph. Now be about that. And Joseph said, you're going to die. See, Joseph was faithful. He gave the bad news as well as the good news. And I'm sure that that man probably wished he hadn't opened his mouth. He just wanted something good. The thief on the cross, he said, save thyself. He said, you saved others, let you save yourself. He just wanted the good news from the Lord. He wasn't concerned about salvation. He wasn't concerned about going to heaven. He was concerned about saving his own rotten flesh. He said, he saved us. Let him save himself. Let him save us. But the other one on the other side of the Lord said, you speak foolishly. He said, this man, we die justly. This man's done nothing wrong. He's done nothing amiss. And he said, thou remember me when you come into your kingdom. See, he wasn't worried about his flesh. He was worried about his soul. He was worried about eternity. He wasn't worried too much about the pain that he was in. He was crucified just like the Lord. And he was in agony and pain and terrible, reeking pain. But he wasn't too concerned about that. But he's concerned about that soul that lives somewhere eternally. You realize, I'm sure you do, but every one of us in here tonight, we are living souls that will never die. Amen. You say, oh, I thought everybody died. Oh, well, they do physically. But I'm talking about the soul. I'm talking about the true you. I'm talking about the real you. I'm talking about you. You're a living soul. You're never going to die. You're going to spend somewhere eternity. Would it be with God or without God? Here we find he tells the baker, the butler, their good news and their bad news. Now he's in the palace. And he tells about a famine that's coming. He tells about 7 good years and 7 lean years. Joseph makes predictions, and the famous dream of the Pharaoh was 7 healthy cows being eaten up by 7 sickly cows, or kine it's called, but that's nothing more than what we would call a cow. And his dream was that he saw 7 really fat cows for a while, and all of a sudden the ones that didn't look too good, you know those scrawny ones we think about so many times, see the ribs and you just see the bones of the cow, all of a sudden he saw them devouring that. Had another dream, he woke up and he was bothered, but he went back to sleep. You know, that's the way a lot of people are. Sometimes they'll get bothered a little bit about God, get bothered a little bit about eternity. They'll get bothered a little bit about hell, they'll get bothered, but all of a sudden they'll go back to sleep and they forget about it. All of a sudden they'll just forget about it. And so he goes back to sleep and God gives him another dream. He sees 7 good, healthy ears of corn, and then he sees 7 unhealthy ears of corn. And those unhealthy ones and those lean ones come and devour the good ones. And he says, I don't know what that means. And he called all of his soothsayers. He called all of his people in, his magicians. And they couldn't tell it. You know why? Because those were spiritual things that God was giving him. And only a spiritual man could give the message. Amen. An unholy and unrighteous and unspiritual man has no business reading, trying to study and explain this book. Most of the false doctrine in this country today is because lost men have tried to explain this book. And this book cannot be explained by human reasoning. Amen. You cannot explain it. You cannot understand it because the Bible says this is a spiritual book. This is a book inspired of God. And only those of us that are spiritual can discern it. We can only understand it. Amen. You say, I don't know why I can't understand it. Well, if you get saved, you'll find out why you all of a sudden can understand. A lot of people have gotten so confused, so mixed up because they've tried to humanly reason out the things of God's Word, and it's an impossibility to do that. I believe a person would go crazy if they tried very long just to figure it out by human reasoning. Amen. A lot of cults today have been started because men have tried to reason out the Word of God. A lot of people have gone off the wrong way because they've tried to reason it out. Here we find he awoke, he was troubled. He is delivered from his distress when Joseph comes. Well, remember now, Joseph's the type of Christ. And the only way you're ever going to be removed from your trouble and your distress is when Jesus comes by your life. You say, oh, I'm so tore up and I don't understand things and I'm disturbed and I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to die. I don't want to get involved in that. All you need, my friend, is just a touch from God. All you need is the Son of God to come by and make an impression upon you and trust Him as your personal Savior. And that'll make a difference in your life. Joseph, Pharaoh got nothing. He got no help whatsoever out of the things of his magicians. It's only when Joseph came by, those puzzling problems, no way to interpret that, but then Joseph gives an enlightenment. Those seven good cows, those seven good ears, Joseph said, Pharaoh, those are seven good years. Now Joseph says, those next ones though, that's seven lean years. There's going to be 7 years, Pharaoh, that, I mean, everything that goes on in Egypt is going to be well, going to be good, and God's going to prosper it, but there's 7 years that's going to follow. And he gave him a message. And I'm glad, thank God, not only did he give him a message, he gave him a deliverance. Thank God we have a deliverance. Not only do we have a message tonight, but we have a deliverance. And that deliverance is none other than the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a message to tell. And we find that this pictures the Word of God. This pictures the gospel truths of the grace of God. You see, God didn't have to tell Pharaoh that, but in His grace He did. God didn't have to do that, but He did. God warned Pharaoh. It was important. It was a matter of life and death to an entire nation. And it was certainty. It was going to come to pass just like God said it would. Look in verse 32 of chapter 41. Genesis 41, verse 32. The Bible says, "And for that dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass." Joseph said, "Pharaoh, you better listen, because it's going to happen just like I say it's going to happen." And we tell the world tonight, folks, they better listen. Jesus is coming again. And they just turn a deaf ear, so many of them. Thank God Pharaoh didn't. He listened to Joseph. Like so many folks do today, they'll listen to the message of God and they'll come to the Lord. But those that, what if Pharaoh had turned a deaf ear and said, "Ah, you're just a Hebrew. You're just somebody we don't care about. You're not educated the way my magicians are. I'm not going to believe you. I'm not going to trust you." He could have said that and they'd all died because they'd starved to death. But Joseph gave the message and Pharaoh believed him. And sure enough, it came to pass. And he said, "He's going to give you a message. It's going to be comfortable to you. It's going to give you peace, and it's a timely message. It's an urgent message. It's shortly going to come to pass. It's urgent tonight that every person in this building come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, because I believe He's coming very soon. Shortly, it's going to come to pass. It's going to happen. And we're going to leave this world. We're going to go out either by way of death or by rapture, but we're leaving here. And thank God, if you're saved, you can have a home in heaven." And then Joseph, gives the instructions to Pharaoh. Notice here his plan for preservation. In chapter number 41, verse number 33, Joseph has a plan, and he puts that plan to Pharaoh. Verse number 33, "Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt." Wonder who Joseph's thinking about. I believe Joseph had in his heart. I believe God already told Joseph, "Joseph, you're that man." You see, God always has people that will do His work. In every age, every generation, God's always had His men. God's always had His people. And Joseph said, "Now, Pharaoh, you need to listen." He said, "Let him look out a man discreet and wise. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land. Let him take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years, and let them gather all the food in those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let him keep food in the cities. And the food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt." Not maybe, not might be, but shall be in the land of Egypt. "And that land perish not through the famine." And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all of his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, as a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" What a testimony Joseph had. Amen. What a testimony that an old, wicked, sinful Pharaoh, a king of Egypt, would say, we need a man. And he said, "Who's got the Spirit of God on him like Joseph had?" Boy, I wish God, the people of the world could say that about you and I. I wish they'd have that. We'd have that testimony that we had the Spirit of God upon us, and if they needed something from God, they'd know where to go. And I believe if we'd be right and serve right and honor God right, I believe the world would know that we have a right message, and they'd seek us out and they'd find us. So we find here Joseph had a plan for preservation. Joseph's message predicted doom, but thank God it provided deliverance. And he was eventually made ruler over all of Egypt. Look in verse number 37. Thing was good in Pharaoh's eyes. Look down verse 39. And we read 37, 30, look verse 39. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. And thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." You see, God gave Joseph a pretty high place of authority. Now, you notice here, I've heard people say that only Pharaoh was higher than Joseph, and that is true. But that wasn't what Pharaoh said here. That was not the words that Pharaoh said. Pharaoh said, "Only when I'm in my throne am I more powerful than you." Now, you have to understand a little bit about the culture of the day that they lived. When the king was on his throne, that meant he was, what he said was law. But when he wasn't on his throne, he didn't have as much power as that. And he said to Joseph, he said, "Joseph, only when I'm on my throne am I more powerful." Boy, I tell you what, God has a way of bringing you from a pit, from a prison, to a palace. God has a way if we'd be God's person in God's place. God has a way to use us. God has a way to put us in the right places. And we say, "Oh, I don't want to be here. I don't desire to be here." I doubt Joseph desired to be in prison. But he was on his way to the palace. I doubt Joseph desired to be there in the pit from his brothers hating him and they left him for dead and then sold him as a slave. I doubt he enjoyed that. That wasn't that was a playtime. Only 17-year-old young man placed there in a pit left for dead. He didn't enjoy that. Don't fool yourself. He is a man, a person just like you and I. We wouldn't enjoy that. Neither did he enjoy it. But he was faithful. He was God's man. He didn't enjoy when Potiphar's wife lied upon him. But you see, he was on his way to a palace. And he didn't understand all the crooks and the turns of the road. He didn't see all the circumstances. He didn't enjoy all of it. But now, thank God, he's been placed in authority now that he rightly deserved because God was with him. God had blessed him. God had taken him and had used him. And he says, "Joseph, you're going to be over my house. According to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." You know who was number one man in the Egyptian kingdom at that time? Is none other than just a little old Hebrew boy that had turned 17 there in the pit probably, and now he's about 30 years old and God had highly exalted him. What was that? About 13 years? He was patient. Waited patiently upon the Lord, and God placed him where God wanted him. You see, now the story begins to develop and unravel. He's placed now where he can be used. He wasn't too much down there in the pit, was he? A hated young man. Wasn't too much there in Potiphar's house. A hated young man. He wasn't too much in the prison. He was forgotten about by a man that even said was going to leave. He said, "You remember me when you get to Pharaoh." But he didn't remember him for 2 years. He was a hated young man. Now, all of a sudden, Joseph is brought in the limelight at the right time and the right place. You see, that's the way Jesus came. He came to die for sinners such as you and I at the right time and the right place. And he's going to come again, by the way, for very long. And it'll be just at the right time. He'll come to the right place and he'll do the right thing. He had a plan. Joseph worked the plan and God blessed him bountifully. He said, "Only when I'm in my throne will I be greater than thou." Verse number 41 of chapter 41 says, "And Pharaoh said to Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bowed the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt."
All of a sudden, that young man has been placed in high authority. He has the king's ring. He has the king's vesture. He has the king's chariot. Folks, we may not realize it, but we have the same thing. We have been given the ring of sonship, been placed on our hand. We are a child of God. The robe of righteousness has been placed upon us. We are the children of God.
Amen.
Thank God one day we're going to go out of here and we're going to be riding with the Lord. We're going to be going with Him because He has given us that authority. And Joseph, all of a sudden, 30 years old now, it tells you that down verse number 46. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. How many in here are 30 or down? Raise your hand. 30 or down. That's basically what span you're looking at. How many in here are 30 years old? Anybody exactly 30? How many are getting close? No, don't do that. But Joseph was just a young man. Just a young person. A young adult. And he had the stamina to say, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be God's man in God's place. Whether it be the pit, the prison, or the palace, I'm going to serve God. If Joseph can do that, you know what? So can I. If Joseph can serve God, so can I. If Joseph can serve God, so can you. If Joseph can serve God, all of us in this building tonight that are born again, we can serve God.
Amen.
We have the opportunity if we'll use it. His plan worked. And God used him. God blessed him. Look at verse number 47. In the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. I like that. Did just what Joseph said it would. And he gathered up all the food 7 years, which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up food of the cities, and the food of the field. And round about every city laid he up the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. Couldn't even count it. Look at verse number 54. And we'll close. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph has said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. Even in the land of Egypt, that is a picture and a type of sin, there was bread because one man said, I'm going to serve God. Because one young man said, I'm going to be God's man in God's place. All the land of Egypt was blessed because of one person. I wonder what's wrong in America tonight. Wonder what's wrong in our country. Wonder what's wrong in our world. Wonder what's wrong. It's because I'm afraid there's not anybody that's really willing to say, I want to be God's person in God's place. I'm going to do it, doesn't matter what. I'm not going to fall by the wayside. I'm not going to get disgusted. I'm not going to retreat. I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to turn around. I'm going to serve God. I believe God wants people to be just like Joseph. Joseph was a man, God's man, God's place, and God blessed abundantly because he said, I will serve the Lord. Will we do the same? Will we be that way? I tell you what, you can't be until, first of all, you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Till you come to know Him in the full and free pardon of your sin, you can't be God's person. You can't, you're not. You're just wandering to and fro. You have no direction. You have no help. You just have no idea what this world's all about without Jesus Christ. So to be God's person, you've got to first of all be saved. Be born again by the Spirit of God. Trusting Him, believing Him. And old Pharaoh, he went to sleep at night and he was bothered about it by his dreams. You ever had that? You ever had a dream and just really bothered you? Boy, I have. But not like Pharaoh had. Pharaoh didn't understand it and it troubled him. He went back to sleep and he had another dream. It bothered him. He went back to sleep and he woke up the next morning. The Bible says his spirit was troubled, was moved within him. You know what he wanted? He wanted to find out the answer. A lot of people tonight need the answer. They need to find it out. And we're the one that's got it. We're the one that has the answer. And it's found in between the covers of this old book. God's holy word given to us that we might have life. Let's stand tonight. Are we God's people? I refrain from using God's man because I don't want you to think I'm talking about preachers. I'm talking about people of God. I'm talking about people such as you and I. I'm talking about whether or not we, boys or girls, teenagers, young adults, middle-aged adults, older folks, doesn't matter who we are we God's person? Do we belong to God? Are we sold out to God? Doesn't matter where we are, we're just going to serve God. Joseph didn't like where he was, but yet he said, I'm going to give God the glory. We may not like where we are right now. I mean, there may be troubles in our life. There may be difficulties that are arising. There may be distress upon us, but we need to determine, I'm going to serve God. Yeah. We just need to be determined. Say, I'm going to follow. I'm going to be God's person. Because in the end, Romans 8:28 says, for we know all things work together for good to them who are the called. Those of us that are saved, it's every bit of it working for our good. God's man, God's person, in God's place. Our Father, we bow tonight, Lord, thanking You for the story that's given in the Word of God that gives us an account of how one man literally saved a nation and that there was bread in Egypt. Dear God, tonight we're living in the land much like Egypt, without God, without hope. Oh God, I'm glad tonight there's bread in the land. I'm glad tonight there's the Word of God that we can read and can feast upon. And God, I'm glad tonight that we have it in our possession. But Lord, help us not to just keep it in these four walls. But Lord, help us to get the gospel out and spread the good news of salvation to a world that's dying without God. Father, help us to be found faithful. And may we not look over, may we just look over the circumstances and say, we'll serve God anyway. May we look over the mistreatment and the words and the slanders that are given and say, I'm going to serve God anyway. Because, Lord, we know in the end you're going to get the victory. And one day we're going to be promoted above the world in which we live. The Bible says we're going to be kings and priests with our Savior. Lord, I pray now that you'd take the message, use it to thy honor and thy glory as we study about this young man that was a real man of God. Forgive us where we fail now. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. What number?
375.
Page number 375 tonight. God spoke in your heart. You ought to come. You may be not living for God like you know you should. You may be walking a far guilty distance off from God. You ought just to turn your heart. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be what I ought to be for the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. I mean, just perchance you're here tonight and you may even be a member of Grace Baptist Church and not saved. You see, not everybody that's got their name on the roll, not everybody that says they're saved is saved. We just have to preach the Word of God as it is to men as they are. Maybe there's somebody in here tonight that's not a member of church anywhere, and you're just lost. You need God. Maybe there's somebody in here tonight that you've never heard the message of salvation, and you don't understand. You just need the Lord. You need to take the Word, let somebody take the Word of God to you tonight and show you what God says. This book will change your life. I guarantee you, there's testimonies all over this building tonight if I was to call upon folks and say, how has your life changed since you got saved? Well, there's some folks in here who can give you a testimony. And I tell you what, the devilish world can do a lot of things about what we say, but they can't do much about what we are. What we once were, now what we are by God's grace. All the Word of God will change you. It'll make you like you ought to be. It'll clean you up for heaven. Somebody said, I want to go to heaven. How can I clean up? Just get out of the spigot of blood and let the Jesus Christ of the Word of God make you pure and clean. It's by the cleansing of the Word of God. It's by the precious blood that was shed there upon Calvary's tree that we have life. We're saved by grace. Saved because of His love toward us. That's the only way we get fit for heaven. Isn't it a foolish thing to say, well, I'm going to clean myself up and go to heaven? Why, we can't clean ourselves up because everything we use that looks good is nothing more than a filthy rag in the sight of God. We can't clean ourselves up because we're using dirty rags. Only this book right here can tell you the way to heaven. Let's sing tonight. God spoke to your heart. You ought to come. Just as you are. Don't try to make any excuse. Just come and say, God, here I am. I need you tonight. That thy blood was shed. Oh, He bids you to come. The song says, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. All with you tonight. I come. Waiting not. Thank you.
God I come. I come.
All right, the Lord bless you tonight. I pray we'll be God's man, God's person, wherever the place is.